Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hello, hello.
Hey, hey, hey.
So we are back.
Yes.
Do you know it's the end of July? It's like August is on our ass right now.
Mm-hmm. It sure is.
How do you feel about that? Like, you're a parent, right? So that means, like, are you in back to school mode?
No. Absolutely not. I am in chill mode. I am in melting mode, though. I'll tell you what, it is hot as heck out here.
Facts. It's been extremely hot.
I read an article this week that said we're in the midst of a global
boiling.
Boiling, yes.
Yes.
Our asses are getting boiled out here.
I feel like it's a bit dramatic, but I hear you.
I boiled last night.
It's been boiling. Like, there's no question about it. It's been boiling. I mean, you have a pool, so you know what to do. Get in a pool.
No, the pool's boiling.
Is it?
No, it's not. It's not. No, I played basketball this week and
outside?
No, in the gym.
Oh,
I'm savage. And I thought I was gonna die. I was like, it's too hot.
Yeah,
it is. And I'm about to cut myself a baldy too. Like, I need no hair.
Slow down.
You're rocking a lot of hair. Is it hotter with hair for you? Is it hotter for me?
Hotter for you?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like shade a little bit. Like, normally my scalp is like exposed directly to the sun, but it's a little shady. I ain't gonna hold you.
You are shady. That's true.
No,
but like, are you
like
moist?
A covering. It's
are
like
you
a,
moist.
So my scalp can breathe, Alan. My scalp is exposed.
Like, I know,
my
scalp, but is it moist? That's
it's
all
not.
I know.
It's not. It's like
I
having
feel like it's
an
dewy
umbrella.
In there.
It's
I feel
not
like
dewy.
And yeah,
it's
Tiffany's rocking a nice little weave. And
it's
I
not
feel
a
like,
weave, first of all.
What is it?
Slow down. Okay. It's crochet braids. It's
that's
crochet braids. It's not a
that's,
weave. But the
2023 weave.
But it's not 2020. For our listeners, our lady listeners, you know good and damn well that there's a difference between a weave and crochet braids. Crochet braids, though, do allow for your scalp to breathe a bit more. Not that one is better than the other, but your scalp is kind of like, you know, it's held down with a weave, but
yeah.
I got
well,
more breathing room with the crochet braids.
It's unbelievable. That's all I know.
Either way, it's not dewy, and it's very helpful. Again, it's like a nice umbrella, personalized umbrella that keeps me safe from global boiling. Thank you. You might want to get you one. Get you a toupee or a man weave, them little things they be putting on.
I'm about to
down?
Go like Onyx. No,
no.
I need exposure.
Now, you
point.
Need hair, first of all. That is, you really do need hair on your head.
And I'm going to just say this. Normally, my hair is like a little curly. Like, my hair looks like Dr. Martin Luther King right now. Like, it's not. It's very puffy right now.
See,
for sure.
Now you know what it's like to be black.
Yeah. What? Whatever. Whatever. So yeah, it doesn't feel like back to school. It's the summertime. I'm enjoying it. My motivation to work is extremely low.
I like that for you, Alan.
No, but my need to work is extremely high. So I am constantly at war with myself this summer.
Let's be honest, though. Like, let's be honest. One, as your business partner, I do like that for you. And that's because you are a constant working person, right? So, like, you need a break, just like everybody else does. But like, let's be honest, as entrepreneurs, and actually we're going to talk a little bit more about this today in our episode, but as an entrepreneur, right, isn't the goal to ultimately not have to work hard all the time?
Yeah, and I'm not there yet.
Like, you are there. You are there.
I'm not.
You might not. You might have some deadlines this week, but you are very much in a place where you don't have to work as hard as you had to, say, 10 years ago, 9 years ago.
I don't feel like I've slowed down. I feel like it's actually worse. Like, I was about to quit this week. I was like, you know what? Maybe I could just cut grass or wash cars, mow lawns, you know, like.
Why am I hearing about this for the first time that you was about to quit? Shouldn't I know first?
You found out when everybody else found out. I'm just frustrated. Like, it's frustrating sometimes.
Yeah.
Running a business and dealing with the government. And the government feels like you work for them when you really work for yourself. And that's it. So just frustrated. Like, I'm not going to quit, but it bees like that sometimes.
It definitely does. It definitely does. And I feel you on that. And it's really, really great that you're bringing that up because of our topic today. But before we go into today's topic, I do want to note and highlight, we'll be in Martha's Vineyard next week.
I forgot all about that.
Yes. So a break is coming, whether you like it or not. But for our listeners who will be in Martha's Vineyard, actually, one of our clients is in Martha's Vineyard right now. She's literally leaving the day before we get there. But anyone else, we will be in Martha's Vineyard from August 5th through the 13th. If you guys are around and you see us on the vineyard, shout us out. We'd love to see you. We'd love to say hello to you. We're not gonna come by. Like, if you see us getting ice cream or something, like, say what's up. Yeah, we'll be on the vineyard for a week doing Morgan on the Vineyard things and all types of Black people things, and just chill people things. The vineyard is one of my favorite weeks just because it's so chill. It's one of Alan's also, but he never knows it until he leaves. But we will be there.
Yeah, and I won't be getting ice cream, but I will be getting some jerk chicken.
First of all, I put you on to the spot. I put you on to the Jamaican spot on the vineyard.
I don't know about that.
Facts.
I'm not sure about this.
But it's 100% a fact.
But either way, I will be. That's where you'll find me.
Okay? Right, which is right next to the ice cream shop. So he'll be doing both.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you see Alan like doing the wobble at any parties, that's definitely him.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. I am a line dancing man.
Line dances though? Cause
yeah, I know the African one. I do that one too.
First of all, that's old now. Like the Tamia one. Tamia got one now. It's hard.
Yeah, you can't. That's if it's got more than 8 moves, like that's too much. Can't do that one.
It's a lot of spinning. It's a lot of spinning in the Tamia one.
Yeah.
So learn it before you get to the vineyard.
Okay.
Because I'm going to request it.
Done.
So I need you to be down. But that's not what we're talking about today. So actually what we're talking about today, and I'm really excited about today's show, it's going to be a little bit different. So go with us. All right. Just walk with us a little bit on this because it's going to be beneficial and it's going to be very enriching. But earlier this week, Jaylen Brown literally got one of the largest NBA contracts in history.
The largest.
Yeah. I'm just saying like the year's not over yet. Who knows? Up until now, to date, the largest NBA contract in history, a 5-year deal for $303.7 million. I think the 0.7 is petty.
Yeah, I like being petty in this example.
Right. I need my 0.7, right? It's called a Supermax contract.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And that is for him.
My man's making $60 million every single year.
Listen.
Ooh.
I like that. He's 26 years old.
Yeah, he's almost making $1 million every game.
At 26 years old.
Yeah.
I'm concerned.
I'm looking at my 18-year-old like, all you could be is a lifeguard, my guy?
But yes, at 26 years old, he has received the largest NBA contract in history. And
God bless him.
God bless him, but God bless him even more, right? Because when he was interviewed and they were asking him, like, what are you going to do with all this money? Like, what does life look like? And his response was, I want to launch a project to bring Black Wall Street here in Boston. He said, I want to support the wealth disparity here. I think there's analytics that support that simulating the wealth gap could actually be something that could be better meant for the entire economy. He went on to say, first of all, the fact that he used analytics, shout out to the 26-year-old using analytics and simulating. Okay.
Come on, stimulation.
Come on, stimulation. Then he went on to say, with the biggest financial deal in NBA history, it makes sense to talk about 1 year investment in community. But the wealth disparity here that nobody wants to talk about is top five in the United States. Oh. And is something mm-hmm. that we can all improve on. It's unsettling.
Yeah, I'm unsettled.
The last time
personally.
You used unsettled.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I'm using it all week.
Apropos.
And I'm unsettled.
Yes. Yeah.
So we are unsettled. But honestly, just hearing that interview and just hearing his perspective on his wealth really sparked the thought around Black Wall Street. Yeah. And I know this is something that, you know, I think has been talked about considerably more, you know, with the resurgence of Black Lives Matter. But I don't know if we've ever touched on it. And I think there's a particular way that we want to touch on it today. Right. And so we want to talk about, is it possible to rebuild Black Wall Street?
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible to rebuild a new Black Wall Street? Is it possible for you to build your own Black Wall Street?
Oh, come on.
And the answer is very much yes. But we're going to attack it a little bit differently this time. So go with us. I think you're going to like how this show is going to end. If for nothing else, you should feel extremely inspired to be able to do whatever it is that you want to do when it comes to building your own generational wealth.
So the one thing I want to say about this notion of Black Wall Street, for one, big shout to Jalen Brown. You know, it's funny.
Big
a lot
shout
of people,
to Jalen Brown's parents. You were raised a particular
raised
type
right.
of way.
Yeah, he's a good player. Like, I think there's a lot of folks on the basketball side.
I've never
side,
seen
like,
him play basketball in my life. I didn't even know this man yeah. existed until this contract happened.
All I'm going to say is this, and this, and no shade to Jalen Brown. There's a lot of dudes like, oh, he got that. Well, wait till I get paid then. Because he's like a good player, but he's not like the best player in the league. And there's, you know, this is the new era of where we are in the NBA, where guys are getting bigger and bigger and bigger contracts.
They know something we don't know about Jalen.
And God bless him. Yeah, no, he's a good player. I think you're about to see an era of like super large contracts is all I'm saying.
The way Allen likes to say it, Allen likes to say G off.
Yeah, no, God's about to G off. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So God bless Jalen Brown. Like he's the fact that he had the awareness to want to put his money to work in a way that's going to help not just him, but also the Black community. Because the contrast is you got guys like J.R. Smith. Like J.R. Smith made over $90 million in his career. And he is just now, like he's been retired for years now. And he's like, man, I regret spending so much money in clubs. He's like, I would go in a strip club and spend $60,000 when I could have fed my whole community. And
100%.
Now he's at a point where he's not making that money anymore. Like Jalen's at the onset of making his money. And now he's talking about what he can do to help other people. And I just hope that this ushers bigger conversations. Like we need more Jalen Browns. We need more Black Wall Streets. Because by the way, I don't believe Black Wall Street needs to be in one particular place. Like
exactly.
We need them like in multiple cities in every state across this country.
And honestly, they need to start in your household, right?
Facts.
Like it really has to start with you. You cannot be sitting around waiting that hopefully, you know, some like-minded people, y'all find each other at a coffee shop and then decide to like rebuild a community. It doesn't work that way. Like it has to start with you.
Yeah. And also you can't wait on other people.
Facts.
Like I think people are waiting for some bell to go off. Like now I'm going to start supporting Black businesses or now when is it going to start that we're going to create Black Wall Street? Like it's got to happen to your point, Tiffany, in your house. And it's got to happen right now.
Right. So the bell just went off. If you didn't hear it, it was a silent bell. Ding. But the bell just went off. Thank you, Alan. And we're going to talk about it today. So we're going to talk about it from the lens of, have you ever heard of O.W. Gurley?
And he's not girly like that.
No. It's first of all, it's with a U.
He's very manly.
Yeah. Right. He's gully. He's more gully than he is girly.
Word.
Okay. And if you're not from Jersey, gully is, it's okay. It's a, look yeah. it up in Urban Dictionary. But
it's
O.W.
Tough. It's tough. It's gutter. It's gully. It's, you know.
Yeah.
You're
about
not smiling.
That action.
If you being gully, you're not smiling. That's all I'm saying.
O.W. Gurley, which was once one of the wealthiest Black men in the country and the founder of the Greenwood District in Tulsa, Oklahoma, is known as the founder of Black Wall Street. Born mm-hmm. in 1867.
Well, same year that Morgan State University started and
you know,
Howard University, but go on.
Okay, it was a
I
year.
I digress.
It was a year, but born in 1867, is known to be the founder of Black Wall Street, or one of the founders. He was born in Huntsville, Alabama.
Come on, Huntsville.
To two enslaved parents.
Mm.
And grew up in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. So let's start right here. Okay. First thing I want to note. Known as one of the founders of Black Wall Street, which we know took place in Tulsa, Oklahoma. But my man was born in Alabama.
Mm-hmm. Raised just like a lot of y'all's parents.
Facts. Raised in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. So first thing to note, to have an impact in this world, to have an impact in a particular community, you don't have to be from that place.
Ooh.
It's a lot of people. It's a lot of people talking about, you know, when you think about your own dreams, well, I'm not from here. I don't know a lot of people here. I don't, you know, I just can't get my footing here. That man is from Alabama. He was from Alabama, even though he had a substantial impact, not only on the world, but starting in Tulsa, Oklahoma, born in Alabama. And then not only that, but he was born to slaves.
Preacher.
And what I take from that is, like, it's a lot of people who are like, listen, I don't come from a wealthy background. My parents can't help me out. Listen, we know that other cultures get a lot of support from their parents. Mm-hmm. That's just not who we are. But that does not change the fact that you can have a significant impact. I guarantee you, especially if you're listening to this podcast, if you're listening to this podcast on a smartphone, your parents weren't slaves. I'm gonna just say that right there.
That's bad. But hold on. A lot of the parents give a different kind of support. That's all I'm saying.
Like, for sure.
A lot of our parents maybe couldn't give us the financial support that other communities got, but they gave us another type of support, like that Generation Zero type of support.
100%. And so I'm sure he got the support of learning about hard work, learning about how to be progressive, right? But they were not able to give him any money. And so for the people who are out here feeling down and out because no one was able to put money in your back pocket, it's okay. Like, you can still make it happen. Going back to O.W. Gurley. He attended public school, right? So he went to a regular public school to the best of his ability, and he also had to self-educate. We know that the education of Black people was not something that was championed back then, so he didn't have the opportunity to go to all the schools that he wanted to go to, but he could go to a little bit of public school, and he could teach himself.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're listening to two public school graduates right now.
Facts.
By the way.
But again, for the current narrative, he didn't go to an Ivy. He didn't go to, right? There was no college involved necessarily. He didn't go to any Ivy. He didn't go to any specialized school with a really robust board and network of people to help catapult his career. Mm-hmm. He did the best that he could with public school, and the rest he had to do on his own. We always talk about YouTube University. We always talk about getting on an online class, reading a book, do whatever you need to do to get whatever education best serves you. Everybody's not going to be able to go to college. Like, everybody's not going to be able to go to a really, really special school, but that does not mean that you get to miss out on the education that's available to you.
He got it out the mud.
He got it out the mud, for real, with no fancy education at all. Not only after that, he went to work. And where did he work, Alan?
He was a teacher and he worked for the post office.
Here we go. Now, again, we started off by saying this was one of the wealthiest Black men in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Went to public school, taught himself, and then went on to become a teacher and work for the post office. How you treat your mailman, Alan? How you talk to your mailman? Nicely?
Thank you so much for the mail. I hope you're having a great day.
Is that what you say? Because I don't. I be pissed at my mailman a lot of times. Because she won't the mail where it's supposed to go sometimes.
Yo, but can I just tell you, this is off topic. What is off topic? I heard this week that, no. I hate to talk about this on air. This is a serious moment. I heard that a lot of mailmen be delivering more than the mail in their communities.
Oh, well, listen. I mean, I'm a woman. So we know it's the mailman and the maintenance man.
Okay. That's all I wanted to say. I never would have guessed.
The pool delivery guy.
Yeah, well, that's from pornos. But I mean, like...
yeah.
I just never knew that mailmen were dropping off more than...
A hardworking man knocking on your door every day. Come on, Alan. It's never crossed your mind.
My mind.
I'm just saying, like a stay-at-home mom, she in the house by herself, and she don't get to talk to too many people throughout the course of the day.
I guess.
So you gotta go with who knocks on your door. What's that song? Three's Company, come and knock on my door. Something's waiting for you.
So we're getting off topic, but we're having a great conversation about Black Wall Street, about Jaylen Brown, about O.W. Gurley. I'm liking where this is going.
Yeah. So stick with us because we do have a lot more to talk about. And I guarantee you are going to get something from today's episode. So I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
So we are back.
Yeah.
And we are still talking about Black Wall Street, right? We started this conversation talking about Jaylen Brown. And right now we are talking about O.W. Gurley. O stands for Ottawa. Mm-hmm. Ottawa. Mm. I think I'm going to stick with O.W. Big O, matter of fact. I prefer Big O. Okay. I'm going with Big O moving forward. Big O was once one of the wealthiest Black men in history and was one of the founders of Black Wall Street. And so we are talking about how you can create your own personal Black Wall Street and how we as a people can create a new Black Wall Street for each other. But where it starts today, and it starts with you. And so continuing to tell the story, he went to public school. He self-educated. He worked as a teacher and he worked at the post office. We were joking before we went to break. But what we were trying to say about that is that my man went and got a regular job. A lot of y'all, a lot of people just in general are like, well, I can't work for anybody. Or, you know, if I have to work, then I cannot, you know, also become an entrepreneur. Like, you feel like working a very regular job is holding you back or is not going to allow you to have a great story. So many people that we know who have had a huge impact. Matter of fact, I don't really know anybody who's had a substantial impact on the world and that has created great wealth. It didn't start with a regular ass job.
Yeah, that's a fact. You got to learn how to work. You got to have a work ethic. Like
literally
got to be coachable, like all of those things work. But I think also the fact that he was born to formerly enslaved people, you know what I'm saying? Like a lot of times folks feel like unless you came up with a silver spoon in your mouth, you can't build wealth for yourself. And that's just wrong.
Right. And probably progress for him looked like getting a job, right? His parents weren't able to go get jobs, right? Where they were able to work and actually bring in income for themselves.
Yeah, that's
it was a blessing for him to have a job and being a teacher, working for the post office. Again, nowadays might not feel sexy enough to you. A lot of people, you know, graduate from college or move on from their parents' home and they feel like they need to blow up immediately. Like it doesn't work like that. And it doesn't have to work like that for you to have a significant impact on this world and to create generational wealth. Went on to work multiple jobs. Eventually he got married to a nice lady named Emma. They didn't have any kids. I'm not saying that's a part of his success story. I'm just saying. He didn't have any kids. And then he went on in 1893, because he was born in 1867. So in 1893, he moved to Oklahoma. There was something going on called the land run of 1893, where they decided they were going to go and get some land for themselves in a place called Perry, Oklahoma. What that tells me, he heard about an opportunity, and they explored it, and they took it.
They went for it.
A lot of times, like, we're just too afraid to just try something new. You might hear about something going on, but we're super skeptical. We don't trust anything. We're not willing to do our own exploration or just educate ourselves around what it really means or just kind of take the leap to participate in it. But again, he heard about something called the land run of 1893 and decided to get involved, moved with his wife, and went and got some land. Mm-hmm. While he was in Perry, right? He became super well known. Why? Because he unsuccessfully ran for treasurer of the county at that time. So the county that they were in was called Noble County. And he ran for treasurer and didn't win. And everybody knew about it.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to fail.
Every time
you got to be willing to fail. And you got to know that that failure doesn't define you.
There's no story. I don't know anybody's story where there were no failures. I don't know how that's possible.
Down, he got up.
That you sounded hard. Right. Alan singing was a failure.
We fall down.
Every time Alan sings, he continues to fail. right?
Whatever.
No, but big picture, seriously, I think a lot of the times we're very sensitive. Like, we just believe these success stories are just supposed to be these upward trajectories only, and all things go well at all times. There will be failures. I firmly believe in failing fast. This man not only failed, he failed publicly. I have to imagine that's embarrassing, right? But there was nothing that he could do about it. It did not deter him at all. But what he did was pivot. And what did he pivot to do? He took his ass back to work. He went back to work. At that point, he became a principal of the town school and eventually opened a general store.
Come on, general store.
All right. Now, I'm sure that's not as sexy as any of us would be willing to do, right? He wanted to be the treasurer of the county. Yeah. And they were like, nah, bruh.
And what's crazy, sometimes God will do that. Like, you be pushing for something that you think you want and it doesn't work out. And you may not realize this, but God may have something better for you that
every
you
time.
Didn't even envision.
Every time he has something better for you, especially, I'm sure, like, running for treasurer, he thinks, like, I'm doing God's work. Like, I'm serving the community. I'm trying to do something better, not only for myself, but for others. And so you believe, because it is, no pun intended, noble of you to become treasurer of Noble County. It's still not enough. He has such a bigger impact that was living in his purpose. And so that didn't work out for him. He had to go back to work. He had to go back to work, and he became a principal of the town school and then ran a general store.
Yeah.
A lot of times, again, so many people are looking for this very sexy, salacious story.
Yeah,
where
he didn't invent Google. That's for
facts.
Sure. Like, he had a regular store.
Yeah, he had a regular general store. He was going, y'all were going to pick up bobby pins, flour, baking soda,
hair straightening products,
a hot comb,
skin lightening.
No, he wasn't selling. He wasn't selling skin lightening creams. But again, no, I'm just telling you, like, if we're just thinking about this man's story, right? And again, we've talked about, like, who this man ultimately became, but the story that you're hearing probably sounds hella familiar. Regular ass job, failed publicly.
Lord.
You know what I mean? Had to just go back to work and do some more regular things. Ended up opening a general store, became an entrepreneur, but it wasn't, again, he didn't invent an app, right?
Yeah,
it wasn't a brand new invention. It wasn't something that we've never seen before. He just opened a general store.
Mm-hmm. And then he sold it. He sold it.
But he ran that, before he sold it, he ran that general store for 10 years.
Consistency.
10 years.
Stuck with it.
So many of us want things to happen overnight. So many of us are like, listen, I've been doing something for the last 8 months. Y'all playing with me. Right? Like 10 years of doing something that probably wasn't your original plan, was probably very much off the path of what you were expecting for yourself, especially since you were running for, you know, a very notable and public seat. You moved your wife to this new place so that y'all could buy some land. And you did buy land, but now you're just, I'm working this work. I'm working what I got right now. I'm doing what I can with what I got until something else approaches. And it might take a little bit longer than you expect. But 10 years later, he sold a store.
Mm-hmm.
And he sold a store because he saw another opportunity. Something was going on in a town called Tulsa.
Mm-hmm.
And he sold a store and he moved his wife so that they could move to Tulsa and purchase 40 acres of land. This is the second time he's heard about an opportunity. He's explored it and he's made a move.
Yep.
What you need to take from that is that you are going to consistently have to be open to new opportunities, and you're going to have to pick and choose which ones you take in order to make progress.
And you might have to move. You might have to get out of your comfort zone. You might have to go across town. You might have to go across the country.
You might have to leave your friends. But ultimately, you're going to have to do something. The opportunity is not going to come to your footsteps. Like, I think so many people are just waiting around. Like, if somebody just give me a big break, if somebody just recognizes that I'm the man in these streets, like, that's not how this works. That's not how this works. You have to always be looking for opportunity. And to Alan's point, you might have to move. You might have to get outside your comfort zone. But you are going to have to take opportunities in order for progress to happen in your life every single time.
You gotta move. You gotta move.
I don't know that song. I don't know that song.
When the Lord is ready.
Oh gosh.
You sure gotta move. Go ahead.
You would think we didn't have like official music for this podcast. I don't know why Alan continues to sing and offer his vocal sounds. We don't need that.
When the Lord is ready.
You
gotta move. Yo, when I was a kid, we listened to gospel all the time. Like, we used to drive to North Carolina, and the only music we listened to was gospel tapes, and it was all old stuff. So I know every Negro spiritual there is.
Well, thank you very much, Alan Boomer, for that. But yeah, not only did he have to move and seize opportunity, he took his wife with him. Like, sometimes you need somebody in your life who believes in you and he'll go with you. Not mm-hmm. every time, but I'm sure. Listen, I don't know what Emma was saying back then, but she
yeah,
sure
we
enough
don't
went.
Know.
Right.
Yeah, he might have dragged Emma out there. Emma might not have wanted to go.
Okay? She might have been happy at the store. But you never know. She did go. And they moved to Tulsa and he purchased 40 acres of land. He didn't purchase just any old 40 acres of land. He purchased 40 acres of land, which was designated to only be sold to coloreds. That's how it was described at the time.
Yeah, there's not a lot of opportunities out here today that are only, you know, land for coloreds. But there's certainly opportunities that, you know, in the wake of George Floyd may be set aside for us if we're willing to go out for them.
100%. And I don't need you looking at it as a handout. It is an opportunity. I don't know when taking a handout became a bad thing, but we need all the hands that we can get in creating a new Black Wall Street or creating generational wealth for yourself. And he took that handout. He took that opportunity and really seized it.
Yeah. And by the way, it wasn't the best part of land in the town. Like when they gave Black people some land, it was land that nobody wanted. Like
Facts.
That's really what it was. But he Facts. Took an opportunity to buy it and it worked out.
So he moved to Tulsa, bought this 40 acres. And the first business that he started was a rooming house near a dusty trail near some railroad tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Again, he wasn't in New York City. He wasn't in a major metropolitan area. I'm sure this wasn't the sexiest town that he could be in, but he did what he could and he opened a rooming house.
Yeah, that's like, you know, having a little renting rooms to people. Like, it's not even like a hotel. It's like the predecessor to hotels, probably.
It's the predecessor to Airbnb.
Yeah.
Right. And for some people, you're like, listen, I want to get into real estate. I ain't trying to do Airbnb. I'm trying to own a whole town. I'm trying to buy the block. You got to start somewhere, fam.
Word. That's a fact.
Right. And so a rooming house, which, again, not the sexiest business you've ever seen, but it was a start. Now, what he did after that rooming house, he then went on to build 3 two-story buildings mm-hmm. and 5 homes. He bought an 80-acre farm.
Come on.
In a nearby Burn. County. He founded what is now today known as Vernon AME Church. He built a Black Masonic Lodge and opened an employment agency.
Yes.
Okay. He's starting to ball now.
Yeah.
He's starting to ball.
He's creating.
Exactly.
He's creating. Like, that's one of the things that we are all endowed with is the ability to create. It doesn't have to be art or music. It can be businesses. It could be institutions. It could be nonprofits. There's so many things that we have inside of us that need to be created.
And what I love is that he continued to open businesses that were vital to any community. Now, it's great that he was servicing the Black community, but he was opening crucial businesses that could service the community, a church,
mm-hmm.
a gathering place, and an employment agency. These are, again, unsexy.
But hold on. Also, he bought a farm. We need food.
We need food.
Need somewhere to sleep.
Right?
Like, that stuff that's not going out of business. Not going
Vital
out of style.
Businesses. So many people are like, listen, I need to create a new thing. Everybody's doing that already. I can't get into that business because it's, you know, I don't need to open another restaurant. It's plenty of restaurants out here. I don't need to open another accounting business. There's plenty of accountants out here. He was opening things that are in every single neighborhood, every single community. He didn't invent a damn thing.
Yeah, he didn't.
It was unsexy, but they were necessary and vital businesses. Please stop thinking that you need to be an innovator in order to be a successful business person. You do not need to be Steve Jobs.
Yeah. And by the way, we did do a show called Innovation versus Perspiration. Just saying, that was a great show on entrepreneurship.
And it's interesting. There is a book that identifies Gurley as the Bezos of Black Wall Street, which I think is actually wild disrespectful because he came first. So Bezos might have been the Gurley
of the tech industry.
Of the tech industry. But because he started with a regular store.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Amazon started off as a bookstore.
It sure did. People don't remember that, but it did.
And it's now grown into all these other things. He started off with a general store and grew into a financial impact on our entire culture that white people felt so threatened by that they had to ruin it because they saw the progress that it was having and the impact and the change that it was causing in our world.
Yeah. And we had dollars that were just circulating back and forth, not being vacuumed out of the community, which was great.
100%. So again, he went on to open a church, a farm, gathering place, an employment agency. Again, these are businesses that are vital to any community. They're not super special. They're not super innovative. These particular businesses were being serviced for the Black community, but any community that you are in requires these type of establishments. He went on after that, right? Like, now he's blown up. My man is, he's blown up. He's on fire now. You really can't tell him nothing. Yeah. Him and Big Emma, they sitting high at this point. Saying? What did he do after that?
He took his Gucci flip-flops across the street and found another balling ass dude. And they partnered up.
He went and found a partner. He found a partner in someone named J.B. Stanford.
Mm-hmm.
How many of us know about people who blew up and now, like, they too big to work with anybody? I don't need nobody. Yeah. I got this. I'm the man in these streets.
Stratford.
I don't need J.B. Stratford.
I'm O.W. Girl. Did anybody go by their actual name?
Right, right. What's y'all's names?
So you would be T.L. Hawkins and I'll be A.J. Boomer?
That's fine. I kind of like it now. I can see why they would do it. I can see why they can do it now. But again, right? He went and found a partner. You are never too big to partner with somebody else. You are never too smart. You are never too special to partner with somebody else. And I'll tell you right now, as a partner with somebody else, you have to learn some humility when you become a partner with somebody. You have to learn how to compromise when you have a business partner. And so I'm sure he felt like, listen, I've created enough successful ventures. I don't need to listen to anybody else. He could have felt that way, but that's not how he felt. Because when you do have a business partner, you have to listen to other people's ideas. You have to realize that your idea is not always the best idea. You have to do things differently. He was in a place where I feel like a lot of people today would not have even considered taking on a partner.
You know the African phrase, if you want to go far.
First of all, is it African? Is it African?
If you want to go somewhere.
Okay? If you want to be somebody. You got to wake up and pay attention because that's sister act.
If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. Something like that.
It wasn't African, I don't think. And if it was, not the way that you said it. You made it. You made it.
If you're trying to go somewhere, you need some people with you. That's
facts.
What it says.
Facts. That's the Ebonic version of it. He went and found a partner and another entrepreneur named J.B. Stratford. Mm-hmm. And they went on to really, really develop Greenwood and Black Wall Street together.
Facts.
No matter how well you're doing in life, no matter how much money you're making, no matter how popular you are, although Alan got it incorrect, if you want to go far, you do have to bring other people on. You do have to work with others. You have to sit in rooms with other people. You will require partnership.
Mm-hmm. That's a fact.
And so seeing a little bit of success and what you have working on, I'm telling you, it's not enough. It's enough for you to stay exactly where you are, but it's not enough for you to go any farther or to have impact on anybody else. Now, so now they're partners. Now they're building Black Wall Street. It's popping. The next thing that happened, which I find very interesting, he became a sheriff of the city of Tulsa. They made him the sheriff deputy of the city of Tulsa. And I will say this, a lot of the residents, they weren't really feeling that at that point. They ain't like that.
You the popo now.
Exactly. Oh, you the like ops. That. The ops, you Alan. Of today's generation, you're used to ops, not the popo.
But we
not the jakes.
Not the fuzz for our older listeners. We got multiple generations that listen, so we got to use all the terms.
He became the ops.
5-0. Right.
5-0. Okay, sure. All of that. But again, what I take from that is with all the success, right? He's built an entire community. They have built an entire community. He continued to work. Like so many people are trying to make a bunch of money so they don't have to work no more.
Yeah.
Or just thinking that like the benefit of making a good amount of money or becoming successful is just to not work. But what I'm telling you is if you want to have an impact on your family for generations, like you've got to continue to do some work. You've got to continue to put your efforts forth in some way, shape or form. Him becoming a sheriff, I'm sure wasn't about wanting to be the popo, as Alan would say. I'm sure it had to do with wanting to have an impact on overseeing the safety that happened in the community that he built. He continued to stay invested in what he built.
Yeah, we need
to take a check and walk off.
Yeah, we need some of us to be policing our communities. Like, not everybody needs to be running a business. Like, some of us are also there to like protect and serve, but to make sure that folks aren't in here trying to kill us. And like being, you know, I'm not one that thinks we need, you know, to live in a police state, but I do know that the police need to come from our community and need to be, you know, empathetic to what it is to be in the community as well. And so I think I take it that way. I don't know what he was thinking when he joined it. Maybe he wanted a pension. Who knows? But we need to be doing all of the things.
Yeah. And it does make me think of Jaylen Brown, right? Like, a lot of people are going to want to make a lot of money so they could just up and disappear, leave the community behind, right? Like, just walk off into the sunset. But he wanted to make a lot of money and then continue to invest and oversee and be a part of the community that he was building. He wasn't walking away from anything.
I got one more lesson in that. Like, his businesses really allowed him the flexibility to still make money, but go get a job. Like, that's passive income.
Right. Because they said he opened a church, but I ain't hear nothing about him becoming a pastor.
You see what I'm saying?
Okay. He opened an employment agency, but I don't know if he helped anybody get no jobs.
You see what I'm saying?
That's all I'm saying. He was not looking at resumes. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. He had enough time to go become a daggone, not just a beat cop, but like a sheriff. Like, yo, my man was doing it. Like, what's funny? I spoke to some kids this week and I was just talking to them about entrepreneurship. And I'm like, look, the idea that I'm sitting here talking to you, I'm still getting paid right now. Like, that's a beautiful thing.
Flexing on them little kids. They ain't deserve that. They didn't deserve that. But we have more to talk about. We are talking about not only rebuilding a new Black Wall Street, but you building your own Black Wall Street. So stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. It's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring Black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out.
So we're back.
Yes.
We're still talking about Black Wall Street and what that means
you
to you.
Move.
Yeah, I think, oh my God. God, stop singing. Can y'all put a petition together? As a matter of fact, I'm going to anonymously put a petition together for Alan to stop singing on our podcast. We need 2,000 signatures. If y'all can just, I know we could get to 2,000 signatures. I just need 2,000 signatures.
Well, I'm going to start a petition too for Tiffany to get rid of this crochet weave. I'm tired of seeing it. So if we can get just 5 signatures, I'll take it out myself.
First of all, my hair looks wonderful. And no, you're not getting 5 signatures and you can't sign it 5 times yourself. So my hair looks lovely. Alan, you're just like so used to me with short hair.
That's the real you. I don't know who this person is.
It's the real me. It's the real me.
I don't know about this.
Okay. It's the real me shaded from global boiling. So it's a safety measure.
Okay.
Thank you very much. And my hair probably not even short no more. You know, it's growing up under here.
No one knows. Yeah.
I know.
It might be spots.
I know. Oh my God. I take my hair out once a month. I know you might not know that, but once a month it comes out.
Yeah.
And I start over. So there we go. But we're talking about we've been talking about Black Wall Street. And I think we've been making a lot of jokes and we really have been specifically talking about the actual Black Wall Street. But I think what we're trying to get to resonate with you is that you can have your own Black Wall Street. Like, you can have your own wealth resurgence or emergence. It can be a big thing. It could be a community-wide thing. It could be, I genuinely believe it could be a universal, nationwide, global thing for sure. But as we always say, it is going to have to start with you by yourself, right? And so telling the story of O.W. Gurley, who is known as the founder of Greenwood and Black Wall Street, telling his story of how it started, I have to feel like resonates with so many different people. It should feel inspirational in that you should be able to relate to parts of this story, right? There's no superhero antics in this story. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of regular things. It's a lot of investing back in your community. It's a lot. It's failure. It's seizing opportunity. I'm sure we don't hear about all the opportunities that he took that didn't work out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm sure he might have tried to buy land several times over and it didn't work out.
And listen, I know we're telling this wonderful story of a wonderful man who created wealth out of nothing. we can't skip over the fact that in 1921, the U.S. government bombed its own citizens. And most people think it's because they did not want to see Black people succeeding. There were over 190 businesses that were completely destroyed. 10,000 people were left homeless. Not a single insurance claim was honored. So this community that was thriving was completely destroyed by the U.S. government. We digress, but you can't talk about the history without talking about it completely.
100%, right? So he's built this thing, him and his partners, they've built this thing. They built this beautiful thing that's thriving, that's honest. And to Alan's point, it all got ruined through a massacre, like through an actual massacre. The decision was made, we're just going to kill everybody in here, right?
Mm-hmm. And so
burned it to the ground. And what you think might have happened, or the story that was told actually for several years, is that O.W. Gurley died during the Tulsa massacre, was lynched, and was buried in an unmarked grave. And honestly, not only was that not true, but I think that happens so many times where history will tell the story of how our Black notables and our Black greats were captured and their lives ended, right? Like, it's always great to just have the narrative that, like, white people prevailed. That's not even what happened. He survived. He survived. Mm-hmm. And him and his wife moved to Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. And he died of natural causes.
He died of natural causes after moving to a 4-bedroom home with his wife and running a small hotel.
Come on, O.W. Gurley.
This whole story is full of ups and downs. And I can imagine after going through something like the Tulsa massacre, you could be done. You could be done with life. You could be done with business. Like, listen, I did all these things right. I'm never going to become an entrepreneur again. I'm giving up on life. I'm giving up on land ownership. Like, none of that worked for me. None of that served me whatsoever. And that's not how he took it. That's not how he moved on. Instead, he moved on to California, which I'm sure couldn't be any more different from the places he came from. He went from Alabama to Oklahoma. And again, had to move on, had to move out of his comfort zone and move to Los Angeles, California.
Mm-hmm.
In the 1920s and the 1930s. Figure out a way to open a small hotel there and died of natural causes with his wife.
The rumors of my demise are greatly exaggerated.
Facts.
There's a lot of people that want to write your story. They want it to end the way they want it to end, but it doesn't have to end like they want it to end. It's not up to them. It's up to you and your God.
I think hearing this man's story is super profound. And for me, it resonates in a variety of different ways that we've kind of highlighted throughout this podcast so far. But there are some takeaways that we really want you to hear when it comes to deciding what you're going to do in your own community or what you're going to do in your own household. First things first, one of the really great key business factors that I took away from his story is that you have to focus on businesses that are about us, but they have to be available for everybody.
Word.
If you are just opening a business that is only going to serve one particular community, I guarantee you, you're not going to be as successful as you can be. Your business can be focused on us. It can be focused on one particular community. It can highlight, it could champion one particular community. But you want to open a business that can service all communities.
Can I shout out all of our non-Black clients at Momentum Advisors?
Aw.
We love them. They're great.
I hope y'all think we don't only have Black clients. Do y'all think that?
I don't know what people think. I don't even know if people think know we're financial advisors. Like, we just have a bomb podcast for some.
I like to think you know better by now. I hope, like to think you've looked us up. We have real jobs. Just like O.W. Gurley. This is not our job.
Yeah, we're also the sheriff of our town. Where we
and Alan owns a general store. Okay? So we have real jobs.
We got people renting rooms in her house right now.
Absolutely not.
Every room stocked with a microwave and a fridge. Make sure you know it's full service. Okay.
But yeah, like you want to
VHS.
No, you want to open a business that can service everybody. You want to have the largest demographic available to you for you to be able to be profitable. You know, as Black entrepreneurs, we never went out to open dry cleaners or wealth management firms or insurance brokerages or gyms that only served one particular community, right? We want to make exponential wealth. And so we want everybody to have to be our customer. And that is ultimately what O.W. Gurley was creating. And we want you to create that for yourself. If you are looking to become an entrepreneur, again, have your service, have your mantra. But everybody needs to be your customer.
Facts.
The other thing, if we're building a modern Black Wall Street, you have to use technology. Now, O.W. Gurley didn't really have technology back then, but you do. So you can't be cash only. Let's start right there. Like, you can't be cash only. You're going to have to accept some Venmo. You got to get a website, do some online things, a Cash App, something. Like, but technology is our friend nowadays. Get in, you know, so you might need an app. You might just need to learn QuickBooks. Like, you might need to learn how to use Excel. I'm not saying that you have to become a tech maven, but I am saying that we have to utilize the tools that we have. And in order to be able to scale nowadays outside of just hiring people, a lot of us have small businesses where we don't make enough money yet to hire people. But you can hire technology, you can hire and pay a one-time fee for some software in order to be able to scale your business and make more money. You have to use technology. You have to use the tools that we have.
Yeah. I think there's also a lesson on quality in the sense that when he had his general store, he was well known. Like, because they did a good job, people came back to him. So like any business you start, you've got to think about that customer perspective and not just think about what's convenient for you or what's comfortable for you.
And how you do that is by starting small. Right. You start small and you do a good job with the clients and customers that you have before you scale, before you go bigger. A lot of us want to be huge and big overnight, but you don't have the customer service or ability to really service that well. Start small where you are, do a great job there, and then scale up and do better. O.W. Gurley started with a general store. Then it went on to a church and a farm and a Masonic lodge and an employment agency. He didn't open all of them at the same time because I guarantee if he did, he wouldn't have done any of them well. So you have to start somewhere. Also, he valued education. Yeah. He valued education and the way that he could get it. You cannot be upset that you are not able to go to college or you didn't get into the school that you wanted to get into or, you know, everybody else has just more degrees than I do. I don't know what that has to do with you being successful. Earlier this week, I was watching CNBC and there was a bit of a documentary on the guy who founded Chewy, the online pet food store. He did not go to anybody's college. He was decent at high school at best. And was before his 30s became a billionaire. Like, there are so many of these stories where people have become millionaires and billionaires without formal education. Now, we do believe in formal education. Alan and I are both HBCU graduates. Alan has his master's. Like, we do believe in the value of formal education. But if you can't get it, I'm telling you, it's not the thing that's going to hold you back from becoming wealthy. You have to get education. That's education true. Is all around you. It's everywhere, especially now. We got ChatGPT. Just go ahead and create yourself a professor or something. it's a lot of things that you could do, but education is all around you. And we're not just talking about formal education in a classroom. You can get whatever education that you want by getting on the internet and figuring it out. But you will need that education in order for you to be successful. I'm telling you, you cannot go into greatness with ignorance.
Yeah, and I also think, I know this is not why we did this, but like, I feel like we need to seek out the knowledge of some of our heroes that we never learned about. Like, I never learned about O.W. Gurley or Black Wall Street in my history classes. Like, we had to seek this information out, and we've got all kinds of heroes that we can be inspired by. Like, somehow we've been led to believe that the only way you can make success in this country as a Black person is singing, dancing, or dunking a basketball. And there's a lot of ways to be successful. And you can create all of these things, and they don't even got to know your whole first name. They could just call you by your initials.
No, I think you make a really great point, Alan. Like, we don't know all of our heroes. And to be honest with you, some of us are our heroes right now. Like, even though the story doesn't sound amazing today, there is so many different outcomes that are available to you that you have to believe in. You have to keep pushing. You got to keep working. You got to keep investing. You got to keep exploring new opportunities. You have to continue to believe in yourself. You have to fail sometimes. You have to go through a very difficult, trying time where you might lose it all, but you still have to believe that it's available for you. That's how you end up becoming one of the pioneers that created a movement that we still have yet to see today. Even though we have more rights and more abilities and more capabilities, we still have not been able to create what that man created over 100 years ago.
But it's coming.
But
and it's
coming.
Starting right now.
And it's starting right
and big
now.
Shout, and big shout to Jaylen Brown for just sparking the conversation. We honor you, my brother. We wish you the best. We know that there's going to be great things to come.
Not only from you, but from all of us. So we look forward to hearing about your own personal Black Wall Street. I know Alan and I, we have been creating our own Black Wall Street for a while now, and we're going to continue to do that. We're going to continue to tell you about our journey, but we really look forward to hearing about yours also. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.